here we are. Welcome to the Stronger Stride podcast. Thanks so much for being here and tuning in today. Now we are back with a solo episode. You are here with myself. I am Sophie Lane. I am an exercise physiologist and running coach, currently living and running in Sydney, Australia, Gadigal country, Cammeraygal country, and I'm happy to be here and happy to chat to you about running. Now today we're going to keep it relaxed. We're going to keep it chill. I feel like the solo episodes lately have been a little bit information heavy, a little bit science heavy, and to be honest, they've required a little bit of research. And today, I have to admit, I just want to have a chat. I want to chat about some things. I want to hear your opinions. I want to share my opinions. And I've crammed a couple of these solo episodes in lately because I am tomorrow morning flying to Japan, to Tokyo, and wanted to get ahead and organized on these episodes. So I'm just feeling like we're overdue for a bit of a chit chat. You're still going to get some great information, but we're going to keep it relaxed. So hopefully you're on a nice, easy jog. Nothing too serious, no sessions today. We're keeping it chill. So as you would have read in the title when you clicked onto this episode, we are talking about, actually I haven't named it yet, but we're basically talking about the idea of when you should hire a coach, should you hire a coach, the pros and cons, things to consider. If you are thinking about doing it, what should you be looking for when you are deciding who to go with, and a little bit about my experience as a coach and also who has a coach. So that's the main gist. Would love to hear your opinions, so please leave them in the Spotify comment box or on Instagram. And yeah, I hope you enjoy. So kicking things off, what are the benefits of having a coach? Now, when I say a coach, that is quite a diverse term, but in this specific context, I'm really talking about a running coach, because that is my current experience of the type of coaching that I'm having. Of course, I think having a strength and conditioning coach is also a fantastic idea. Having a cycling coach or a swimming coach or whatever it is that you do, or maybe someone who does a combination of things could also be a good idea. There's a lot of variety in there, but what we're talking about specifically today is having a running coach. Now, some of the pros. Number one, structure. Having something that you can just follow, that's laid out in front of you, you know exactly what to do, you know exactly when things are meant to be happening. I have found such a weight off my shoulders. I love on a Sunday afternoon, before the week started, going onto Training Peaks, looking at my program, and then filling out my calendar and knowing exactly on Wednesday I've got to do 90 minutes, on Thursday I've got 1 hour in the evening, easy. My long runs, when are they? How long are they going for? And I can block it out on my calendar, and then everything else can fit around that, because obviously running is the priority. So work, socializing, chilling out, that can all go around the running. But if I can put the running stuff in there and know exactly when it's all happening, I really appreciate that. Prior to me having a coach, so I'm working with Tim Locke at the moment from the Distance Collective, and it's kind of been, I think, maybe a 4 month prep for Tararua 50K, something about that. And prior to working with Tim, I was just doing my own thing. And I just sort of got to the point where I just couldn't be bothered to figure it out. It was taking a lot of brain space. I was spending my 9-to-5 job and my hobby relaxing time talking about running, writing running programs, writing strength and conditioning programs, thinking about structure and programs and deloads and tapers and peaking blocks and long runs and sessions and all that stuff for everyone else. And when it got to me, I just couldn't be bothered. So I ended up just doing random stuff. I would just jump in on random run clubs and social groups, and maybe I'd do a double, and then maybe I'd have a couple of days off, and then it was all just very random. And part of that was I was working in a job that required me to do some actual running as part of my work, which was obviously a dream. But that also just confused me a bit, because I was ending up doing these random 2 or 3 kilometer runs, and then when was I having a day off, and it was all just a bit confusing. So I just didn't want to think about it anymore. I wanted someone else to think about it, and I just wanted to look at something and go, okay, this is what I'm doing. Because sometimes I would end up with all this random free time, or like, you know, hours in the middle of the day, and if it's winter, I'd just be like, oh, just do another run. Which is obviously not very sustainable and not very conducive to an injury-free life. So I needed some structure. So number one would be structure. Number two that goes alongside this is the accountability, which is not something that I didn't think I needed it. I still don't think that would be like one of my top three, but I know for a lot of people it's really important. I know for a lot of my clients it's really important. For me, I think I've been running for so long that it's become very automatic and I don't really think about it too much. Of course, don't get me wrong, there are still many times where I'll wake up in the morning and not want to do it, but I'll know whether that feeling is like I just don't want to get up out of bed, or is that a feeling of I'm doing too much, I need to rest. I've kind of worked that out a little bit, so I know sometimes I need to give myself that time, but usually it's just that initial like, oh, I don't want to get up, and then once I'm up it's fine. But for a lot of people, the accountability is really helpful. If you're someone who really struggles to maintain the habit, you really struggle to keep that routine, to be consistent, it's really, really helpful to have someone else watching over you, because I don't know what it is. Maybe it's the guilt of not wanting to let them down, or just knowing that someone's checking up on you, knowing that you won't just kind of get away with it without anyone knowing about it, can be enough of a push to help people be consistent, show up, do the things they need to do. I think for me, it was probably more the other side of things where I was accountable to Tim in the sense that I didn't overdo things and I didn't just do random stuff. I was accountable in the sense that I was doing, as I was told, I was doing the things that were required. Less about kind of forcing me to get out of the door, although there were definitely some days where I thought like, oh, I don't really want my Training Peaks to have another red or an orange on it. I want it to all be green. So I'm going to do this run even if I don't feel like it. So yeah, I think that accountability element is really important for a lot of people. So if that's something you struggle with, if you struggle with consistency and showing up and doing the work, then paying someone, hiring a coach, putting that kind of financial investment and just knowing that they're checking up on you will probably really help with that. I think while I'm on this topic, some people might go the other way, and I definitely felt this a little bit, and I feel like it's made me a little bit more aware of what my clients might go through, is kind of doing all the things because you feel like you have to. So on Training Peaks, if you've used it before, you'll know that if you do a run as it's prescribed, it will show up as green. If you do more, it'll be orange. If you do less, it'll be yellow, or maybe the other way around. And if you don't do it all at all, it'll be red. Now, my problem with this is sometimes life happens, sometimes things get in the way, and you might have to move your Tuesday run to Wednesday. And you can do the exact same run on Wednesday that was programmed on Tuesday, but if you did it on Wednesday, Tuesday will be red, and then the Wednesday run will just be gray, and it's like it didn't ever count. So that's just a little like me giving feedback to Training Peaks, and I think that there should be a better way. Although if you pay for a premium account, then you can just move it yourself. So that's, I guess they're just trying to make money, which is fair enough. But I could see how some people could, if they don't have kind of open communication and a good relationship with their coach, they could just tick all the boxes and do all the things that they're told and maybe not listen to their body, maybe not consider that, you know, it's all good and well to have something laid out for you and go, okay, this is the optimal way, this is the best option, but things change, you know, like life stress happens, you could be really busy with work, maybe you're not sleeping so well, maybe you've been sick or injured, and if you're really set on ticking all the boxes and doing all the things correctly, then that can be a bit of a downward spiral. So I think realistically, if you've got a good coach, someone like Tim, someone who you feel comfortable communicating with, I hope that my athletes feel this way about me, that you can have that two-way communication and know that your coach isn't going to be annoyed at you or upset or disappointed that you missed something, and it's okay to have an occasional non-green run on Training Peaks. So that's just something to keep in mind when you are looking for a coach, which we'll talk about at the end, is making sure you feel comfortable enough to have that discussion with them and to know that they just care for you and they want what's best for you and they're not going to be upset at you if you miss a run. Okay, so we've got structure, we've got accountability. Next, we have progress. If you're someone who's hit a bit of a plateau or you're just not feeling like you're improving anymore, maybe you've kind of moved beyond the beginner gains and you're stuck in this kind of in-between where you've had some progress in the past and you're not really, nothing's really changing, nothing's really happening. So having someone progressively overload your training in a scientific evidence-based manner that is appropriate and specific and individual to you based on your training history and your goals and your availability and your schedule is really, really helpful. It's really great to allow for progress. I feel like at the moment I'm probably the fittest I've been in a very long time in terms of endurance. I'm definitely not as fast as I've ever been, but I'm training for an ultra, so that's not relevant. I definitely feel like I've got more endurance, more aerobic capacity. I can be on my legs for longer and not feel as wrecked as I previously had in the build up to other events. So that's feeling really good. So that's definitely something to think about, and that's a real positive aspect of having a coach is, of course, hopefully they're helping you improve. Number four is the objectivity or the non-bias view on your training. So as people, we have feelings, we have preferences, we have things we like, things we don't like. And this can be a little bit detrimental for our training, because if we are training for UTA but we hate doing stair sessions or hill sessions, then we're probably going to miss those sessions. Maybe we'll, you know, plan to do them, but we might forget about it. Or if we're going to miss something in the week, they might be the things to go first, and we just never get around to doing them. And then it gets to the event, and you're like, oh, I haven't done enough stair training. If you have a coach overlooking your training who is objective, who doesn't have those same feelings as you, who isn't inside your head, and who doesn't have the same biases, then they'll be able to program those things appropriately for you, and you'll do things that you wouldn't have already done or that you wouldn't normally do. There were plenty of runs throughout my training block that I just kind of have never programmed for myself, never really thought about, you know, runs that have 30 minutes faster at the end, or, you know, steady efforts, and even hill sessions and things like that. I tend to do a lot of social jogging, do a lot of trail running and exploring, that kind of thing, and always do my long runs, but I've definitely been someone who has typically kind of forgot about sessions or just avoided sessions. And having those programmed in for me and me not having a say in that is a fantastic way to get those things in. That it's not that I don't like them or don't think they're necessary or avoid them on purpose. It's more just I kind of forget, and I just do, you just automatically do the things you enjoy, or at least I do anyway. So having that non-biased opinion is really, really helpful. Number five, not having to think about it. I touched on this at the start, but honestly, the weight off my shoulders and the amount of newfound brain space I had when I started following a program was just unbelievable. I think for me specifically, maybe for you out there, if you do random shift work, or if your hours change quite a lot, or you're doing kind of different things and you don't just have like Monday to Friday, 9 to 5, a regular consistent routine, I think this can be really helpful. Because I found for me, I would start my week and I would have a rough plan. I'd put it in the calendar, but then, you know, I'd pick up an extra shift, or I'd see an extra client at a certain time, or things would move around and I'd suddenly have a big window of time. So I'd fit in a random long run on a Tuesday afternoon, and then I wouldn't do anything the next day. And then I'm like getting towards the end of the week and I'm thinking like, okay, well, I've done 30 kilometers and I want to do 50. So, okay, if I do 10 Friday and 10 on Saturday, then that's the week. But then I've also got, and I'm just like back and forth, like every day I'm thinking like, trying to calculate how many I've done, what do I need to do, what have I missed, all that stuff. And partly that's probably just my organizational skills, and you could probably just program for yourself and just stick to it. But I think with my schedule, that just didn't really work either. So it was probably a combination of things. But I'm loving just looking at the app, looking at the website, and just going, okay, great. Wednesday is this, Thursday is this, Friday is this, and just not having to question it, think about it. It just slots right in, and it's fantastic. So that is a really big plus for me. So they are my five big pros. I think there are so many, and there's probably different ones for different people, but they're kind of just my five key favorites. So structure, accountability, progress, objective, and the lack of thinking. Now, we're going to talk about cons briefly. I feel bad calling them cons. I don't think that's really the most appropriate word, but pros and cons is just an easy way to think about it. But I think these are just things to consider, let's say. So number one being finances. It's obviously going to cost money. Unless you are downloading a free PDF program online, then hiring a coach, paying for an actual person to coach you, to write your program, to support you, to make adjustments, to check in on you, that's going to cost money. Now, there are different ways to go about it. There are different, obviously, you know, different tiers of cost. Different people charge different things. So that might be something to consider when you're looking at hiring a coach, is what can you afford? What's in your budget? And to some of you, it might feel like, oh, why would I pay someone to tell me to run? Like, I can just run by myself. And I was definitely a little bit in that frame of mind, even though I had people paying me for running coaching. I was kind of like, I can just coach myself. Why would I get anyone else to do it? Why would I fork out money to do that? But refresh yourself, rewind back to those pros that I just listed, and I think they are, it's so worth it. I would, yeah, happily pay what I'm paying, and just, I feel so comfortable with that. It fits my budget, and I think I'm getting so much out of it, as I've just listed. So finances, that's definitely something to consider. If you're not in the position to hire a coach, then maybe just looking into a program that you can get online, maybe just having a bit of a listen back to some of our previous episodes around structuring your training, how to progress your training, those kinds of things, and getting a bit of a plan happening with yourself. Maybe chat to some of your training partners, people you run with, and get a little bit of advice, and maybe that's the option that you need to take for now. Number two, when we're talking about considerations, is just less creative freedom. So less ability to just do what you want, which obviously can go really wrong. But for some people, and particularly like I often enjoy just sort of, you know, being a bit spontaneous, spur of the moment, doing what I want. So I think I would be someone who would choose an event or a race or a challenge or something that I wanted to train for. And I would do a specific 20, 16, 12 week block for that training. And then just take some time to just do my thing. Just run to feel, run with friends, be a bit more laid back and casual with it, a bit more spontaneous. And then once I've kind of had enough of that, get back onto a program. So potentially just kind of structuring your year. If you don't want to have that rigidity and structure all the time, then maybe just having some almost deload periods where you're just kind of doing your own thing. So yeah, if you're someone who loves the spontaneity and just the ability to like get a message from a friend, they're saying tomorrow we're doing 20Ks. If it's not on your program, do you miss out on that run? Do you miss out on socializing with that person? Like it's a bit of a toss up that you have to go through. And for the most part, you could probably work it in with your program or adjust things as needed. But yeah, it just definitely makes you have to just think a little bit further ahead or be a little bit more organized in terms of not just kind of randomly winging stuff. It probably limits your ability to just go to a lot of social runs and run clubs if it doesn't fit into what you're doing. You know, a lot of the run clubs are, I don't know, 5 to 10K runs, easy social pace runs. So if you've got a session to do, you might not be able to do that. If you've got a long run, you know, maybe you could join the group for a little bit. You know, you've kind of just got to work that out. So again, it's just weighing up what your preferences are, what you like, and all that kind of thing. They were the only cons that I could think of. So not a lot there. I'm sure you might have had some bad experiences in the past. You might have thought of some other things, or maybe coaching just didn't work for you particularly. But for me, I'm having a really great experience with it and really enjoying it. So I don't really have any complaints on that front. Now, let's talk about when is a good time to hire a coach. If you're someone who's thinking about it, toying with the idea, you're not sure if it's right for you, you're not sure if maybe you should like train for a bit first and then look at hiring a coach once you feel like you're ready or once you've locked in a race. So let's talk about that. I think there are a number of times when hiring a coach is appropriate. I think there's probably very few times where it's inappropriate or not that helpful. I think for majority of us, we could all benefit from a coach if we're in the position to do so. But I think there are definitely times where it makes a lot of sense. So number one, if you're a complete beginner, if you've just started or if you're thinking about starting, I think having some guidance and structure in your training is just a really very sensible idea. It's really easy, as we all know, to do too much, too fast, too soon, get injured, stop running, hate running, never get back into it again. So if you've got someone there who can set out your training and structure your walk jog intervals or your short runs, make sure that you've got enough rest in between, having enough days off, make sure you're recovering well, maybe doing some strength training, just giving you a really nice holistic overview of your training so that you know how much you might be able to handle. They can chat to you, you know, if you're feeling a little bit sore, you'll know, was that just kind of DOMS from a new activity or is that an injury? Is that a niggle? You can have a little bit of a sounding board to discuss all those things that come up, which just naturally come up. You might have questions around nutrition. You might have questions around injuries, training, all those sorts of things. And if the coach can't answer it, they'll probably have a resource or a referral that they can send you to that will be able to help in that situation. So I think it's just good when you're new to the sport, when you're not really sure what to do, you're not really sure how to start. It's just a really great way to get into it. And that doesn't mean you have to sign up with someone for a 12-month program and be with them forever. Just get some advice initially, start for a few weeks, see how you go, and then you can progress from there and see what you want to do. The second instance where I think is a really good idea is if you're tackling a new distance. So maybe you've done a couple of 5 and 10Ks and you're looking to step up to the half marathon or the marathon or an ultra. Whenever you're stepping into a new realm, a new distance that you've never done before, I think, again, it's one of those times that's a little bit risky. You might end up doing too much. So having someone lay it all out for you, make sure that you allow enough time as well. I think a lot of people get, 2 months out from a race and go, oh gosh, I don't know what to do. I'll just hire a coach and then I'll just quickly get fit and it'll be fine. But giving yourself enough time. So for a half marathon and a marathon, really like 16 weeks. For a marathon, minimum 16 weeks. For a half marathon, you can get away with 12 weeks, depending on where you're at. But allowing yourself enough time is really, really helpful. But I think if you're stepping up to that new distance, just getting a bit of clarity on, should your training be similar to how it was for the 10K when you're doing a half? How long should your long runs be? What pace should those long runs be? Should you be doing sessions? What types of sessions? All those different questions come up as you're starting to explore new things. So I think that's a really fantastic time as well. Number three, if you're doing a different type of event. So maybe if you're going into a triathlon, or maybe you're doing your first trail run when you've only done road, or maybe you're doing a track race rather than a road race. There's lots of different variety amongst running as a broad term. So if you're doing something new, could be worthwhile looking into a coach then. I think if you've hit a plateau, I mentioned it before, if you're someone who is just lacking progress at the moment, you haven't really noticed much improvement for a long time, then this is a really great time to hire a coach, because there might just be some blind spots you've got. Maybe you're missing something. Maybe you just need a slightly different approach, a little bit of different structure, maybe some more high intensity work or some more low intensity. Maybe you're doing too much fast stuff. There could be so many different reasons. Maybe you're not recovering enough, all those kind of things. So if you haven't progressed in a while, if you're feeling like you're overdue for a PB, then this is a great time to get a bit of advice and just get a different opinion, a second opinion, different perspective. Even if you've done your own program, you've done your own stuff forever, and you're thinking, why do I bother now? I'm in, whatever age I am. It's a great time to do it. So if you want to progress and you feel like you're a bit stuck, then reach out to a coach. Number 5. If you haven't had a coach before, I think it's a great thing to try. I think for me personally, this is the first time I've paid a running coach and had a program written for me and coaching for me. And it's been amazing. It's been fantastic. I'm so grateful that I did it. And if you haven't had a coach before, I think it's just a good experience. I think you can learn a lot. I think, it's more than just that 16-week block of training that you get from it. I think the lessons you learn, the new ideas that you learn, new ways to do things, you might learn some new terminology or some new ways to monitor your intensity or different philosophy. There's so much in it. If you're getting some good advice from your coach, you should be able to take more away from it than just purely the training. So yeah, if you haven't had a coach before, give it a go, give it a whirl, see what you think. You might be blown away and it might change your life. So if you are looking for a coach, what should you be looking for? How do you know which one's a good one? How do you know which ones to avoid? How do you figure it out? I think it's really tricky at the moment with social media. Seems like everyone's a coach, and that can make things really confusing and really hard to know what to do and who to choose, because it's very easy to be swayed online. It's very easy to believe what you see from some nice polished Instagram reels. But you've just got to be careful, because you want someone who knows what they're doing. They know the science, they know the evidence, they know the research, but they also know how to put it into practice. Having that combination is really helpful. So looking for some sort of qualification, I think, is a good place to start. I mean, qualifications are not the be all and end all. You can have all the qualifications in the world. You could be a PhD with masters and degrees and all sorts of things, but can you communicate with someone? Do you understand about people's feelings and how to adjust programs based on what's going on in their personal life? How do you manage conflict? All those kinds of things are really important too. So it's not just about the degrees or the qualifications, but making sure that they've got some knowledge behind them. So whether that's if you're in Australia, if that's an Athletics Australia level 1, level 2, level 3 coaching certificate, or yeah, I guess that would probably be the most relevant one. They can also, of course, have other background knowledge in exercise physiology or exercise science or personal training or strength and conditioning, all those kind of things that are relevant as well, but making sure there's some sort of element of running specificity as well. Making sure that the qualifications and the experience are both there. So again, if they've got all the qualifications but they've never coached someone before, probably not the best idea. In saying that, I still think that the notion that just because you're old, let's say, doesn't mean you're necessarily that good. Now that might offend some people, but what I'm saying basically is that I think younger coaches often get kind of pushed aside and dismissed because they're younger, because they haven't been coaching for 50 years. But just because you've been coaching for 50 years doesn't mean you're the best coach in the world. So I think still giving younger people a chance, still giving people newer to the industry a chance, but just having a chat, I think, is really the key. Making sure that you either know the person personally or you know someone that knows them, or you organize a call with them. Can you have a chat? Can you talk about your goals? Can you talk about what their approach is? Can you understand a little bit more about how they go about things? And you should get a pretty good sense of what they're going to be like and if you're going to get along, because it's quite an interesting relationship. It's not your family or your friend or your colleague, but a coach is someone that you communicate with quite regularly. They're thinking about you, you're thinking about them, because every time you run, you're thinking, oh God, why did he write this for me or whatever. So it is important that you get along to some degree and that you can communicate quite well. So beyond qualifications and even beyond experience, make sure that you actually are going to get along with the person. So they would be my first kind of things to look for: qualifications, experience, personality type / communication skills. Number two would be specificity. So are they someone who coaches events or distances or types of runs that you're looking to do? Are they a trail running specific coach, or have they got experience with trail runners? Are they an athletics track and field coach? Are they a road marathon coach? You know, people have their niches and their specific areas. Some are more broad, some are more niche. It really does vary, but making sure that they're at least interested in working with your type of discipline or your distance or your event, and making sure that that is something relevant to them. You know, you don't want to go to a track and field coach who coaches 100 and 200 meter sprints when you're doing an ultra marathon. So yeah, trying to line up that so that it is specific and relevant to you. The other thing to look for is, what type of coaching do you actually want? Do you want a program to follow to keep you accountable, to give you some structure, to avoid your biases, and just follow it with no communication, no check-ins, no changes, no adjustments? Or do you want all of that other stuff as well? Do you want someone to actually coach you? Do you want any help with your technique? Or do you want some analysis done on your sessions and your pace and your heart rate? And, you know, there are just so many different ways to go about coaching. I think it's quite a broad term. Some people literally just want a program that is individual to them, custom made, based on their needs, based on their schedule. They want the 12 weeks. They're given it and they just follow it for the 12 weeks, and there's no more questions asked, no more back and forth. You might have a check-in every now and then just to make sure it's all good, but there's not that same level of coaching, whereas some people require weekly check-ins, weekly updates, changes to the program based on how things are going, maybe some analysis of some gait or technique or some sessions that they did. The other thing as well, do you want it online or do you want it in person? Totally different experiences. Some places have a combination, a hybrid of the two. Some are purely online, some are purely in person. So really thinking about what you want. I think I've had a couple of people inquire and just say, like, I want to run a marathon, can you help? And I'm like, yeah, but how would you like me to help? In what way would you like me to help? Do you want a program? Do you want me to take you to the track and give you words of encouragement and take you through some drills and time your 400 meter reps? Or do you want to join in on a group session? You know, there is just so much variety within that. So figuring out what it is that you want, and maybe that's a bit of trial and error. Maybe you'll have to go to a session and try it out, or maybe you could ask a coach if could you do a month and see how it goes online, or, you know, all those kinds of things. But figuring out what level of coaching or what depth do you require. The price will probably, in most cases, increase, the more coaching you require. If you just want a program, it's probably just a one-off fee. Here you go, done, see you later. If you want that more in-depth regular catch-ups and more of the actual coaching side of things, then it's probably going to cost you a little bit more. So that's something to consider. What's your budget? How much help do you need? I would suggest if you're a complete beginner, getting more help initially is going to be really helpful. If you're a seasoned veteran, then maybe all you need is a bit of a program so that you don't have to think about it, so that you're accountable to someone, so that you've got your structure. So figuring that out is very, very important. So I think that is the gist of it. We've got half an hour. It's done and dusted. A little bit of a recap for you. The things that I really appreciate in having a coach and that I think you would also appreciate are having structure, accountability, progress, the objectivity, and not having to think about it. Some considerations are the finances and your budget, as well as having less creative freedom and freedom to just join in random run clubs, join in random runs, do your own thing, do whatever you want. When should you think about hiring a coach? If you're just getting started, if you're a complete beginner, you're not sure what to do, really helpful. If you're stepping up to a new distance, a little bit further than you've gone before, new uncharted territory, great time. If you're doing a different type of event, if you've hit a bit of a plateau, if you're not progressing, and if you've never had a coach before and you're looking to get that PB, that's a great time as well. The things to look for are they experienced, and are they experienced in the areas that you need them to be in your specific distance, discipline, type of run? Do they have any qualifications, or at least are they up to date with the research? Do they know what's going on in the literature and the science? Do they understand the theory? Are they someone that you're going to get along with? Are you able to communicate with them? Do you feel comfortable talking to them? Do they understand you? Do you understand them? That's really important. Figuring out how much coaching you want. Do you just want a program? Do you want the in-depth coaching? And also, do you want it to be online or do you want to be in person or a combination of the two? So many options, so many things to think about, but hopefully that's given you a little bit more clarity or a little bit of encouragement as to how to go about getting a coach. If it's something that you've considered, but you're just not really sure whether it's the right time or whether it's for you, I think it's never too early to start. I think reaching out to someone, having that initial chat, see whether you guys get on, see whether you gel, see if you think you're the right fit and they're the right fit for you, and then take it from there, give it a go. And I don't think you'll regret it as long as you choose the right one. So shout out to Tim from the Distance Collective. He's been fantastic. Really, really grateful for everything he's done. Not sure if he's listening or if he's is listening, if he's gotten this far, but shout out to you. And yeah, if you'd like any advice, any tips, if you want some coaching, feel free to reach out to myself. And if I'm not the person for you, I will send you on to someone who is. All right. Thank you so much for listening. Check out the discounts for Tailwind, Vivo Barefoot, and Scorcher Sun Care. I'll get that right one day. And thank you so much for your support. Sorry this one was a little bit shorter, but hopefully you enjoyed the more casual approach. And we will speak to you in the next episode.